We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. 92 degrees currently. Actually, in our studio on this handy-dandy Gabe the Boss weather station we have now. It's 91.6 degrees here at the station. At the Mesonet station here at Elk City, we have 92 degrees. Heat index is 94. Humidity is 40%. Southeast winds, 9 miles an hour with gusts up to 14. Just actually a beautiful morning in Oklahoma when the wind's not blowing. Let's check out some temperatures in our listening area real quick. See if Altus wins again. I know who's the coolest, and that's Kenton up there in Oklahoma Panhandle, and also Boise City coming in at 67 and 70 degrees right now. Altus and Mangum are tied for first place today, along with Sealing at 94 degrees. Cheyenne's at 89, Arnett's 89, Hobart's 93, and actually Granville just topped the city of Altus at 96 degrees. And it is 93 at Shamrock, 94 at Wheeler. And Canadian Texas is coming in at 89 degrees. So that's the update. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up shortly. Man, I took a drive through the neighborhood this morning on my way, and my neighbors over there, they had some beautiful hay, alfalfa going up, big square bales rolling in, and it was looking great. They're making some nice hay, and anyway, I'm happy. Those big old windrows alfalfa. So anyway, I hope everybody else is having good luck. I got some more hay hauled yesterday. I'm going to finish up down at Granite today. I got to tell you, the outpost at Granite, or down there at the North Shore at Lugard, when I drove by there last night, that was a hopping place. And it was all Chevrolet Silverados out front. I didn't see no Fords, no Dodges, no cars. So I don't know if Chevrolet was having a convention down there or what. But anyway, it was packed full last night. Rumors have it through my buddy down there at Granite, Mr. Camphouse, the body shop down there, that is a really good place to eat now. So maybe one of these days I'll give it a whirl. Stop in there and try it out. All right, let's check out some grain prices this segment real quick. Let me update everything so I don't put out to you some fake news out there. It looks like everything is in the red as far as grains or futures are concerned, except for hard red winter wheat. Let's start out with corn. July is 764. September is 702. December is 695. And soybeans, July 1653, August 1564, September 1490. Soybean meal is at for July is at $432.50 a short ton. August is $414, and September is $402. Soybean oil, July 70.62 cents. Soybean oil for August is 68.80 and September 68.01. Hard red winter wheat futures, July 10.47, September 10.54. Oats actually down quite a bit today. July 6.21, September is 5.86. And then let's check out the cash grain prices in Oklahoma and Texas as of an hour ago. Hard red winter wheat is $9.87. Corn is at $8.25, and Milo's at $7.53, and soybeans coming in there at $15.48 a bushel. Well, let's see what's going on in the world today that's causing the market to fluctuate today? Wheat futures jumped overnight as some speculative investors jumped back into the market after prices yesterday hit the lowest in almost 3 months, while soybean futures crashed as extreme heat moves out of some areas out of the U.S. Midwest. Wheat futures yesterday fell to their lowest level since late March, driven lower as the winter wheat harvest in the U.S. rolls on and crop collection continues in Europe. Still worsening crop conditions in the southern plains and prospects for higher prices likely brought some buyers back into the market overnight. About 25% of the U.S. winter wheat crop has been harvested as of Sunday. That's up 10% from a week earlier, ahead of the prior five-week average of 22%. And I'm guessing, since they're in northern Oklahoma, that some of the harvest crews have eased on over into Kansas and are getting after it around there. 30% of the crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week. That's down 31% as a week earlier and well behind the 49% that saw top ratings at the same point this time last year. Spring wheat planting is almost complete. 89% of the crop has emerged from the ground, and that's up from 72% last week, but down from 97% from this time last year. 59% of the spring wheat was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday, up from 54% the previous week and well ahead of the 27% that saw top ratings during the same week in 2021. Also boosting wheat prices are prospects for rain in the southern plains for the next 2 weeks that could delay the winter harvest. Precipitation likely will delay crop collection for the next couple weeks, but the risk of any damage is low, according to the Commodity Weather Group. Extreme heat has been underpinning soybean and corn prices, has moved out of most of the corn belt, giving relief to plants and animals that have been suffering from the hot weather. Scattered showers are expected Friday in the southwestern Midwest, and the Great Lakes area might also see a little bit of rain. Still, the 6 to 15 day outlook for the central corn belt is cooler, but moisture deficits may build mostly in parts of Illinois, Indiana, and southern Minnesota. Wheat for September delivery jumped 20 and a quarter cents to $10.075 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures surged 14 cents to $10.62. Soybean futures for November delivery dropped 19 cents to $14.91 a bushel. Soy meal lost $1.40 to $401.20 a short ton. That's $401.20, that is. While soybean oil futures fell 2.63 cents to 67.74 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was up 2 pennies to $7.03 a bushel. Inspections of corn, beans, and wheat for overseas delivery all declined in the 7 days that ended on June 16th. The government inspected 1.18 million metric tons of corn for export, and that's down from 1.22 million tons assessed a week earlier and well below the 1.78 million tons examined this same week last year. Soybean inspections was reported at 427,344 metric tons. That's down from 608,000 metric tons a week earlier, but well ahead of the 205,000 tons assessed the same week last year. Examinations of wheat for offshore delivery last week totaled 331,328 metric tons. That's down from 411,000 metric tons the previous week and 554,000 tons a year earlier. So not quite half as much as last year, but pretty close. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 46.2 million metric tons of corn. That's down from 56 million tons last year. Soybean assessments since the beginning of September now stand at 50.9 million metric tons. That's down from 57.3 million tons during the same period last year. Down a little bit, but not much. weed inspection since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st, here a few weeks ago, are now at 969,953 metric tons. And that's down from 1.25 million tons that were examined at this point a year earlier. Before I go on to this other part, my weather part, so I'm not the smartest cat out there. A lot of you guys already know that. So if the Ukraine, the war in Ukraine is causing such chaos with wheat and corn and sunflower oil and all this stuff, it makes you wonder why our wheat inspections aren't as much as last year, if not more, if more countries need to buy wheat because Russia's got the Ukraine knocked off and a lot of sanctions against Russia, and I'm sure they're still exporting wheat, but it just makes you wonder why is the wheat, I know why the wheat's high here in the United States is because there's not a lot of it to be harvested this year, not as much as last year, but you'd think our exports would be way up if all these these countries were worried about going hungry. That's just my opinion. Like I said, I'm not the smartest cat out there. But anyway, the extreme heat that has been hovering over the U.S. Midwest for the past several days has moved on, but some growing areas still see some hot weather. Heat advisories will be in effect from noon to 8 o'clock today in much of eastern Oklahoma. According to the National Weather Service, indexes are expected to reach as high as 106 degrees Fahrenheit in that area, creating ripe conditions for heat illness. Further north to southern Illinois and southeastern Missouri, isolated thunderstorms are possible today, and in eastern Kansas and far western Missouri, meanwhile, showers and thunderstorms are possible in the area throughout the day and into Thursday. Well, when I come back, we'll be talking about livestock. I got reports from the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, and I got reports from Elk City. I got reports from Woodward. I got our futures to do. Remember, this coming weekend, this Friday, this Saturday, and this Monday, Hollis, Elk City, and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be their last weekend until after the 4th of July. So if you got cattle that you need to get sold or need to buy some, better put it on your schedule to get it done here in the next 7 to 8 days before everybody shuts down for the famous 4th of July holiday. The text line is open at 580-225-9697. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KCOFM.com. And you can hear me loud and clear on your radio and your swather, because I know somebody's out there swathing hay or raking. I don't know if you're raking. The humidity looks a little low to be out there raking, but you never know. Some farmers are different. They like the powdered stuff without the leaves. I'm not sure. But anyway, just kidding. Anyway, we'll be right back after this, and I want you to be thinking about your favorite mishap with yellow jackets, because I learned something about some yellow jackets, their habits last night, reading. I didn't get into them, but I always wondered why the yellow jackets were worse later on in July and August, and I figured it out last night. I never studied them, so I didn't really know. I might be the only guy out there that didn't know this, but think about your favorite mishap with the yellow jackets, and you want to go ahead and text it in to me. You don't have to put your name down if you don't want your name on the deal. I won't say your name, but anyway, there's got to be a funny story out there about getting stung by yellow jackets. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
We strive in our cow herd for high efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. we try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus.
BLRedAngus.com.
You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I have a request in on the text line. Does anybody know when the Pete's trucks are coming to Western Oklahoma? If you've heard about Cunningham or any of the rest of them, when they're coming, a couple of buddies of mine are needing to know when the Pete's trucks are coming. I don't even remember. Anyway, okay, let's go with some weather real quick. We got, why do you always go back to that page? There we go. 92 degrees at the Elk City Mezzanette, 94. Heat index, humidity's 39. Winds are out of the south, southwest, 7 miles an hour. Here in the studio on the Gabe Gadget, I call it 92 degrees with 36% humidity. And we'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up. All right. Let's check out the livestock futures real quick. As soon as I get there. There we are. Live cattle for June is down 1.8 at 136.02. August is 135.20, down 1.05. October is 141.42, down 0.87. December is 147 even, down 0.75. Feeder cattle for August, 173.67. 1.6 is what it's down. September is down 1.5 at 175.75. Lean hogs, July, 112.10, down 0.62. August is 108.95, down 0.85. And lean hogs for October, 94.15. Before I forget, this is for you, Tommy Riggs. I know you're listening out there. But CME sugar, number 11 for July, is down 0.2 cents at 18.4 cents. per pound. About 19 cents a pound. You can buy all the sugar you want, Mr. Riggs. All right, let's check out the Hobart's having their sale right now as we talk, and he's got 25. They're probably already sold 25 of the good looking young cows with 200 to 300 pound calves on it, and they had it going on there. So anyway, let's see what happened to my Woodward report. There it is. Yesterday at Woodward, they had 751 head at their weekly bull and cow sale. Breaker cows, looks like they had about, about 40 head. Weights were ranging anywhere from 1135 to 1960, and they were bringing anywhere from 88 to 9850 hundred weight. Boner cows, looks like they had over 100 head there, and they were ranging anywhere from 990 on weight up to 1517, and they were anywhere from 80 to 9350. Slaughter cows are up in price now, I'm telling you. Lean cows, looks like they had close to 150 head and ranging anywhere from the weights from 850 to 1435, and they were priced anywhere from $40 per hundred weight up to 86 is the highest, 88 88 was the highest I've seen in there. On the bulls, looks like average weight of all the bulls was around 1757, and they were bringing anywhere from 102 to 1150, with the 109 being the average. Replacement cows, bred cows, medium and large, 2 to 4 year olds, were weighing anywhere from 1,000 to almost 1,200 pounds, were bringing $1,200. 5 to 8 year olds weighing 1177, 1150. Cow calf pairs, medium and large, with 150 pound or less calves on them, where price was up yesterday. These was 2 to 4 year olds weighing around 1,000 pounds, brought up to anywhere from 1,700 to 1,825 per pair. Cow calf pairs, 150 to 300 pound calves on them, 2 to 4 year olds weighing 1,136, brought 1,825. 5 to 8 year olds weighing around the 1,200 pound range, brought anywhere from 1,350 to 1,425. Then they had some older cows, 8 years or older, weighing right at 1,000, still brought $1,235, and that was with 150 to 300 pound calves on it. Then we had some cow calf pairs, medium and large ones, with 300 pounds plus calves on them. 2 to 4 year olds was bringing up to 1,825. 5 to 8 year olds weighing somewhere around 1,200 pounds brought $1,775. Now let me get to my phone here and check out the reports I got from Mr. Brandon Hickey yesterday. I'll find it real quick. I got it. It's here somewhere. I know he sent it to me. Bear with me here. Enjoy the silence. There we go. Got him. All right. Elk City Livestock Auction last Friday. 1,084 head went through the ring. Looks like on steers, 300-pound range was anywhere from 203 to 219. 451-pounders averaged from Elk City, 184 per hundred weight. Raiden had some 558 weights, 171. Those were cutter bulls. Shamrock, 562, 177 per hundred weight. Durham had 24 head that weighed 568, brought it up basically $170. Had some from Willow, $177. And let's see, 600-pound range. There we go. From Hammond and Sweetwater, anywhere from 652 to 667 on weights was bringing 172. And then some big boys from Shamrock, almost 800 pounds. They weighed 798, brought $1.48. And 849ers brought 147. On the heifer side, we had some 398-pound weights, brought up 162.50 per 100 weight. 464-pound heifers from Willow brought 155. Some from Sayre brought 150 that weighed 505. And then some down here in the 600-pound range from Mangum, they had some that weighed 613 pounds, $158 per 100 weight. Butcher cow prices at Elk City last Friday, anywhere from $50 to $106.50. Butcher bulls, $94 to $127.50. Bred cows up to $1,350. Pairs were bringing up to $1,350 also. At Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction there, they had 686 head there Monday. Steers, 460 pounds, 189. Some from Corn, weight 780, $1.64. From Butler, 812, $1.63. And then some 900-pounders from Binger brought $1.28. On the heifer side, some Canute, 407, 164 on the price. Arapaho had some 524 weights, 174.50. Weatherford, some 634 weights, 157. Sayre, 682 weights, 153. And Hobart had some heifers weighing 738, brought $1.53. And did they have, yep, they had some butcher cows anywhere from 48 to $1 even per pound. If you got some culling to do, you better get it done, because the prices, I don't know how long they're going to stay up there. They stayed up there way longer than I thought they would, but anyway, they show no sign of coming down. Butcher bulls, 104 to 115. Well, guess what day it is? If you're watching on Facebook, I'm wearing my Taylor Ranch cap, and this is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour today. And did you guys know that all cattle are not the same? Just like in people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some people are short, some have blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on the carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you that mouth-watering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, or whole beef. Third-party verified, all natural, and hormone-free, also available. Interested in getting some for the future? Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. That's for Taylor Ranch beef. And if you've ever drove through the Taylor Ranch, you know that they have good genetics. And some of the most beautiful cattle in western Oklahoma out there. There's a lot of beautiful cattle. But if you ever get a chance, drive through the Taylor Ranch at a low speed and just look at the cattle over there and drive on through. And or stop by if you see Jimmy or Jesus at the lots working, cattle, doing something. You got to stop by and talk to Jesus. I mean, he is a character. He's funny. He's the one I was talking about back during that Berlin fire. He says, "Smoke, Jimmy, smoke too much." Anyway, he's a pretty good character. So anyway, when I get back, we'll talk some more about agriculture. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 17th. 1,084 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 347 brought 203. 3 at 558 brought 171. 5 at 652 brought 172. 4 at 695 brought 160.50. 12 at 849 brought 147. 9 head of heifers at 288 brought 165. 7 at 398 brought 162.50. 8 at 479 brought 100. 5 at 557 brought 151. 5 at 633 brought 148. Butcher cows were 50 to 106.50. Butcher bulls brought 94 to 127.50. Bred cows were 925 to 1350. Pairs brought 550 to 1350. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers, and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
92 degrees here at the studio on the Gabe Gadget. 37% humidity. At the Elk City Mezzanette, we're at 93 with the heat index at 94. Let's check out, see if anybody is smoking hot. Nope. Looks like Bessie, Colbert, and Altus, you're the hottest at 95. Oh, it just changed. Camargo's in there at 95. So anyway, Shamrock, 96 degrees. They got her beat out there in the Texas Panhandle. Hook'em Horn. Oh, wait a minute. Shamrock, you like A&M and Texas Tech. I know I have a listener that's a Longhorn fan driving down I-40 right now. I really want to say something, but I'm not going to. I'm going to be a gentleman and leave it alone. But remember to watch those Sooners play up there at the baseball deal today, if you think about it. Anyway, Yellow Jackets. Who has ever encountered at least one? That didn't take long to get that message. Who has ever encountered a Yellow Jacket, one single or a whole nest? Well, I got one reply back from a gentleman, the major from Cooperton, and he said the inside of a roll of barbed wire by the T-post paddle pile makes a great hiding place for Yellow Jackets. Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, them Yellow Jackets are, they're mean, they're aggressive. Well, let me get back to my Yellow Jacket page right here. There's actually two kinds of Yellow Jackets west of the Mississippi, and it's the and it is Yellow Jacket. You can pronounce it one word, space it, do whatever you want, but it's a Yellow Jacket. And they are feared and they're hated, not only by picnickers, but by most people working in the woods and around piles of barbed wire. How's that? But for some biology, wasps, Yellow Jacket wasps, are not honeybees. Rather, they are two predatory insects, and there's two of them. Common names are the Western Yellow Jacket and the German Yellow Jacket. And you can tell the difference between the two. The Western Yellow Jacket is a little bit skinnier than the German Yellow Jacket, and that's because I figure, you know, most people that I know from Germany are big bone, so why not have the Yellow Jacket be big bone too? Anyway, it is native to the United States, especially Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle. They are predators. They're scavengers, which makes them a pest during the summer. But believe it or not, the Yellow Jacket is unwanted and very uncommon in Mexico. They don't want them down there, and nobody wants them. But these insects feed on other insects as well as honeydew and fruit. Queens, this is what I didn't know. Queens will overwinter in protected locations above or below ground and emerge in May. And that had been last month, and that's when they did start showing up. After the queen emerges, she will begin her colony, which eventually can include hundreds to thousands of workers. Fertilized queens will emerge again in October or November. Males begin to emerge in large numbers next month, late July. Control strategies are very time sensitive. Some growers have observed fewer nests being formed if they can get them out of their lure traps. They got traps for these females, and they usually try to trap them from March through April and even to May. If you can actually trap a queen, you won't have a lot of wasps around your area. If you think about that next year, it's too late. They're already being made right now. Workers can fly over a quarter of a mile or so from the nest in search of food. That food can be honeydew from aphids feeding on Christmas trees, alfalfa, or whatever's present. Where they conflict with work or recreation, nests can be targeted with insecticides. I like blow torches myself. That's the best way to get them, because sometimes, you know, you can take a can of carburetor cleaner or ether or whatever, and sometimes you miss. You've never seen this white boy run as fast as he can, because I hook it up, man. Them guys will get it. But anyway, there's wasps, Yellow Jackets, man, they're just aggressive. When we first got Zoe, and Joe and Kelly got their pond filled up across the road from their ranch house, we went out there, and Joey had put some dye in the pond to make it look pretty, and it was blue. Zoe stayed in that pond for 1 hour almost, continuously swimming, chasing yellow jackets on top of the water. And to this day, almost 10 years later, she still chases yellow jackets. One of these days, it's going to come back and haunt her, but there ain't nothing I can do about it. But anyway, yellow jackets are just mean. So what I figured out on this deal is I always wondered why in late July and August the wasp nest got bigger and bigger and bigger is because the queen doesn't do her colony, start on her colony until May. And if she fertilizes it right, there's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of yellow jackets in one area. But if she doesn't, you know, you're going to have those small nests around there, and electric boxes, and open the cover up on your side row to start the engine, because they can make those nests over easy. But man, them things, I hate them, and they hate me too. But they say that the male has a stinger on it, and I don't believe that, because I've heard a lot of people opening a fuse box or something and all of them hit their face. There can't be that many queen yellow jackets in that deal. Anyway, Greg Hartman, we was talking yesterday. Oh, wait a minute. Drake Vaught. he says, never try using torch and carburetor cleaner. Emma used that as a blowtorch for everything now. Yeah, you don't strike a match on that or hit your lighter. That would come back to haunt you. Yeah, I can see that, Drake. But, boy, they make you want to do that, though. Greg Hartman, we was talking yesterday, and I was talking about the blister beetles eating aphids, and me and him wasn't aphids, and we wasn't agreeing to that. But the lady might be confusing these blister bugs with soldier bugs. Soldiers are natural enemies of aphids, and they're soldier bugs. And they do look somewhat similar to the blister beetle, or I call them blister bugs. Anyway, I'll have to Google that. But anyway, thanks, Greg Hartman, for texting in and verifying that. So he did. He looked it up. If you ever need any help in Beckham County, probably any county needs some help, call Greg Hartman at his office there in Sayre. He is the OSU Extension Educator. Not officer, not agent. He is the educator. And anyway, if you ever got any questions, please check with him. When I come back, we're going to talk about the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast, and I got some hay reports for you because we missed it yesterday, Tuesday hay days. Anyway, be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Dusty. Not always is things bigger and better in Texas, so talk to you later.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodford Livestock Auction. First sale is Thursday, June the 23rd. We're expecting 2,500 cattle. We'll start the auction probably 9 o'clock. Give us a call. The only week we'll shut down is the week of 4th of July. No sale Tuesday, July the 5th. No sale Thursday, July the 7th. From Gage, you got 126 every 7 to 9. Shamrock, Texas, 130 steers every 7 to 8. Cordell, 129 steers at 9. 125 heifers at 8. Paulette, 20 heifers at 8. Clinton, we got 24 heifers at 7. Seymour, Texas, 44 steers, never 6 to 7. Woodward, 70 steers at 7. And Woodward, 50 heifers, 7.5 to 8. Again, we're expecting 2,500 cattle. Probably start the auction 9 a.m. Give us a call to find out. No sale Tuesday, July the 5th. No sale Thursday, July the 7th. Extremely good cow and bull market. Bulls topped on Tuesday, 123.50. Cows topped, 98.5. One man had 40 older cows, no teeth. Cows, weighing cows, and the kids on them that weighed 260, the average was 1450 a head for the pair. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
-93 degrees here, according to the Gabe Gadget. 37% humidity. Heat index currently right now is 94. The winds are out of the south-southwest at 10 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 16 miles an hour. Today, 95 for a high. We're almost there. I bet we exceed that a little bit. Tonight, 71. Tomorrow's going to be extremely hot, 97. Friday, extremely hot again, 101. Saturday, hot again, 100. But I think except for Friday, the winds don't look too terrible for the rest of the week. But, man, Saturday night, the forecast has changed, and it just updated today. Winds switch up out of the north, and we have a 30% chance of thunderstorm Saturday night. Sunday, partly sunny and 87 degrees. And that's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. According to a source of mine, the people that was wanting to know about the Pete's truck, they'll be in here hopefully in late July. Or no, the schedule comes out in late July. It'll be August, September before the peaches get here. So I know he's listening. My friend Tommy, when you go back down to South Texas to work and you stop by and get some peaches for me on the way back, buddy, I'd appreciate it because I could live off peaches, cantaloupe, and watermelon. I'd appreciate you picking some up because I know you're going by some vegetable stands. Well, let's check out the hay report from June 21st. Let's check it out. And I'm just glancing through there. Hay's creeped up a little bit, about $10 a ton on the average. Looks like California is the highest, 372 to 473 a ton on premium alfalfa, 365 to 400 on good. Let's check out some neighbors. Kansas, 180 to 410, that's delivered on premium. Good is anywhere from 160 to 240, and that's delivered. Missouri, 160 to 250 across the board on premium. Oklahoma, 200 to 280, that's delivered. And Texas, 260 to 380 on delivered. Let's get down here to the grass hays. Let's see who's the highest in the nation. That's the one I'm always after. Actually, it's Texas. Texas hay on grass hay, 180 to 330, and that's not delivered. That's actually hay price. Oklahoma's not available, so I don't guess any was reported last week. And Kansas is right at 125. And Iowa's anywhere from 183 to 300. So anyway, not much to report. Not a lot of hay sold last week. I guess it was reported. Let's try this out. The U.S. Senate Agriculture Subcommittee on Commodities, Risk Management, and Trade held a hearing last week titled Agriculture Trade, Priorities and Issues Facing American Farmers. Representing the U.S. Peanut Federation was Carla Baker Thompson with Jet Farms in Georgia and Integrity Farms of Camilla, Georgia. She presented testimony on the export market for peanuts and some of these issues on the peanut industry is facing. Let's see what old Tyrone Spearman has to say about it.
The U.S. peanut market showed a slight increase over the last year or so. But
let me start that all over. Sorry.
Camilla, Georgia, spoke on behalf of all peanut farmers last week at a special hearing of the U.S. Senate Ag Committee on tariffs. She noted that the U.S. world peanut market showed a slight increase over the last year or so, but since 2015, the U.S. share of the world market has been declining. The implementation of non-tariff trade barriers in the European Union and the United Kingdom have only exacerbated the problem. Those are non-tariff trade barriers. There are also tariffs beyond there. The U.S. peanut industry share of the world market is less today than the U.S. market share in the 1990s. The U.S. also has another problem in just one of the number of peanut exporting countries. The world peanut market is very competitive, she said. Our major competitors, Argentina, Brazil, China, and India, are classified as developing countries by the World Trade Organization. This allows these developing countries to support their farmers at a higher level than allowed in the U.S. Argentina is a consistent competitor for the U.S., particularly in the European Union. I'm Tyrone Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Mr. Tyrone, for that update. I pushed the wrong button. Surprising, right? You guys are surprised by that. Hey, I want to give a big shout out to Christian Hall. He's out there on the Swather today. Out there, I don't know where they're out, by Sweetwater or they're out down by Hex. Anyway, thanks, Christian, for listening. He's one of my avid listeners. One of these days, I'm going to hand him an autographed cap of the KECO Today in Ag hat with the new brand we got on it. And I'm going to autograph it for him. It's going to be a collector's item one of these days. I don't know if it's going to be worth anything, but it's going to be a collector's item. Anyway, what do we else we got to talk about here? Let's go right here. We've already covered that. Managing stress. I just want to throw this out there at you guys. One thing that's very important in managing heat stress on cattle is water. And fresh water obviously is better than pond water unless it's spring fed and blah, blah, blah on that deal. But if you are still depending on a windmill or a solar pump for your water, or you do every day all year long, please during the heat, at least drive by and check it out and make sure they got plenty of fresh water in them tanks, because water, as Greg said yesterday on the show, for every degree or 5 degrees, whatever he said yesterday, they drink a certain gallon per deal. I always figure they drink 30 to 50 gallons a day. That's just a rule of thumb amongst a bunch of people. But anyway, there's it's important to check on your cattle. And I did go check the cows last night on my way back from Granite. I stopped through Willow and went and checked the cows. And there's a few more flies showing up from my spray, but that's 10 days now that it's worked. And so this weekend, I think I'm going to hit them again because they weren't miserable. They were actually out grazing yesterday afternoon at 6:30 when I went through there. And, you know, that's basically the heat of the day, and my cattle are all black. And so when they're not fighting the flies, they're grazing. So anyway, they must be doing good. They look fat and sassy. The calves all look good. I'm excited about my new bull. Well, he wasn't a new bull, but Loaded, the Charlet bull that I had with him last year, he was pretty active. He was always getting to be loving on the cows before Frosty, Sandy's bull, the Simmental Angus cross. So this is the first set of calves I've had out of him. He's out of High Caliber and Angus Mom. And man, I'm super excited about the calves I got coming out of him this year. So anyway, well, last week, you know, as we discussed yesterday on the show, we were talking about the heat stress and the tragedy that happened, as of course it got blown out of proportion. There was only around 2,000 head of cattle in two counties that were actually killed during this stress deal. Managing stress in cow-calf operations is different than it is in feedlots. Heat stress is caused by a combination of environmental factors, including temperature, humidity, solar radiation, air movement, and precipitation. During the summer, we need to access the heat stress that cattle are under. Cattle on pasture are not as susceptible to heat stress on feedlot cattle are, because they have the ability to sink shade, water, and air movement to cool themselves. In addition, radiant heat from dirt or concrete surfaces is increased for feedlot cattle. And as we talked about yesterday, the feedlot owners knew this was coming. They was doing everything they could. They went and bought every water tank in surrounding towns, and they put bedding down in the lots to so it would reflect that heat. But cow-calf pastures are whole different deals. At temperatures above 80 degrees, cattle can endure psychological stress trying to deal with their heat load. Although cattle at this temperature are not at risk of dying, that will increase maintenance requirements to cope with the heat. Compared to other animals, cattle can't dissipate their heat load very effectively. They do not sweat very effectively and rely on respiration to cool themselves. A compounding factor on the top of climate conditions and the process within the rumen generates additional heat that cattle need to dissipate. Heat production from feed intakes peaks 4 to 6 hours after the feeding. Since cattle do not dissipate heat effectively, they accumulate a heat load during the day and dissipate heat at night when it's cooler. Anytime the temperature humidity index is above 80, cattle will be under heat stress. Hot weather, falling precipitation can increase the THIM dramatically. And just as importantly, when overnight temperatures are above 70 degrees Fahrenheit, cattle will increase heat stress. During extreme weather conditions with insufficient environmental cooling at night will accumulate heat that they cannot disperse. Therefore, temperature humidity index, the THI, alone might not predict cattle heat stress because it does not account for accumulated heat load. Another shortfall to the THI is that it does not account for solar radiation and wind speed, which can affect heat load on cattle. During times of increased heat stress, should be observed closely to identify if additional strategies are needed to be implemented on your cattle. Five actions to minimize your heat stress and we'll be done. In the summer months, cattle should only be worked early in the morning. Provide ample amounts of cool water. Shade is very critical, especially for black cattle. Increasing the airflow, there's not much we can do there to help cattle with that because wind speed has been shown to associate with the ability of cattle to regulate their heat load. But although we cannot influence the wind speed, we can ensure there's no restrictions of air movement, such as hay storage, vegetation, or wind breaks. Flies. Here, last but not least, biting flies can cause cattle to bunch up. And then you guys have seen them when they get in a corner of a pasture or under a tree. And that also decreases the cooling because they're next to each other. Minimizing breeding areas for flies and apply insecticides to decrease fly populations prior to heat stress is a very valuable management practice. And all joking aside, that recipe that I've gave out a couple times the last couple weeks until my other stuff gets in, it works great. And Darren, buddy of mine, got his applied on there. Donnie, another buddy of mine, called me. Monty called me. So anyway, hopefully you guys use it. Anyway, we got the text line. See if there's anything. How much do cows want to poop every day? I don't know. Go out there and measure it. Anyway, yep, you're right. Just because the windmill is turning doesn't mean it's pumping water. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
Oh, come on. This is fun. Riding this fun. This is nice.
KECO, Elk City.